October 24th, 2018 is the Lot from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Good sound on from our end, though, right?
Yeah, everything's great. Lock for Pedro show. There was a little pilot air there. People, happy Wednesday. Brother Matt on yet another tour, so I'm here in my pad, Pedro, but I'm not totally man alone because through the wonders of the Estonian software Skype writers, I got a Christian Linden Michael of Dallas Acid on board. Hey. Welcome aboard.
Good to be here, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Your record is bitching. I love it.
Thanks, man.
And it turned me on to some, you know, I've been on to this kind of stuff since I was a teenager. Claude Schulze, the guy who quit Tangerine Dream. I don't know if they're rare cats like that or Silver Apple or, so there's always been a place in my heart for this, even in a strange way, Kraftwerk, you know.
But,
yeah, maybe a little more beats with them, but whatever. It's, I was just I had Ray Barbie on the show. We were talking about Tonto. This huge-ass synth that people don't know is kind of the backbone of the three Stevie Wonder albums he made supposedly by himself. I mean, he played mainly everything, but he had these two English guys playing this synthesizer the size of a room.
Yeah.
And there's an album called Incredible Expanding Headband or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, who wants to go first? We're going to get... Oh, I should say what we played. We played Exotica from John Coltrane. And then Full Moon Serenade, and this is the collaboration you did, Dallas Acid, along with Laraji and R.G. Oceanata.
Yeah, that was a really great stroke of fortune. We were up in New York. We had just finished a tour with Dead Meadow at the end of March, and we had a show booked with Laraji and R.G. Oceanata. Who up to that point we had never met, and we just really hit it off great at the show. We opened for them, and it was just a really spectacular time there at the National Sawdust in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And the next day we decided to go into the studio and just see what happened after, you know, 6 or 8 hours of messing around. And we went in there, and Laraji just immediately set everything up and started going for it on the electric zither. And we just followed suit and compiled about, 40 minutes or so of our favorite moments from that session. And Full Moon Serenade was one of those sort of at the end of the session, and Laraji was singing through the pickup mic in his zither, I believe.
Now these cats are older than me even, right? They're like in their 70s.
Oh yeah, they've been doing it since the 60s anyway, Laraji, just playing around New York and parks and subways for years before Brian Eno.
Sure.
Got him for that collaboration that we all kind of know.
Right. Kind of like a Moondog.
Yeah, exactly.
You got people that are not appreciated in their time because they're too far ahead of their time.
Yeah, absolutely. We love those Moondog records.
Yeah. So who wants to go first? Well, we're going to talk about you guys' journey through music.
Well,
should I go first?
Yeah, we'll let Linda go first.
Okay, Linda, what's your earliest musical memory?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that.
What's your earliest musical memory?
Dancing. Dancing to classical music, probably.
And where was this at? In your house?
This is in Sweden where I grew up. I grew up in the north of Sweden.
Okay. And so it's probably records you're dancing to, right? You didn't have an orchestra in there.
I started, gymnastics at a very early age, and I kind of really just remember...
Oh, you mean music at school?
I was just really into ballet and gymnastics.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know of a lot of people who have memories of being a kid...
Yeah.
...at home dancing, but you did it in school. Did you also do music in school, like choir or... marching band? Or
yeah, but I wasn't so into that music in school. No, you wanted to do music after school most of the time, yeah, at least when you got a little older.
What about your family? Did anybody play?
Nobody played, no.
But were they listeners? Did they have good record collection?
Decent, yeah. Absolutely.
Can you remember the first record you bought yourself?
The first record, I believe, was, I mean, a CD, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I think it was one of the Metallica records.
All right. What about first gig that you went to and saw?
It was sort of a medium-sized Swedish like punk rock band that I went to see at this music organization that we had in my town that I just discovered, you know, and fell in love with the whole thing.
Oh, wow. So, you mean just kind of local bands, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm just curious. What about, like you were saying, you didn't like the school in the music. What about after school? Did you do the thing with the garage band or in the basement or the bedroom?
Yeah, I had some bands. You know, we had this old female band that was called Lady Lords. And, you know, we were kind of inspired at that point of kind of some heavy metal stuff. But, you know, we were living in the north of Sweden, and it was kind of just what was around at the time.
And what instruments did you get on?
Drums and electric guitar.
Wow, drums. I'm curious. How'd you get on drums?
Oh, the drummer just simply didn't want to play drums anymore. You know, that's kind of a classic.
But they already had the kit, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
And did you do it at home? Did your parents dig that?
No, we did it at her place. It was great.
Oh, okay. I'm curious. So, and what was drums and what else?
Electric guitar.
Ah, okay. So guitar. Yeah. What about songwriting?
Songwriting, yeah. I would write songs with my friend, and you know.
I'm curious about this because when me and D Boom were growing up, everybody copied off records. Nobody wrote songs in the 70s where we grew up until the movement. So that's why I asked that question. I know it sounds stupid. Almost every person that's a little bit younger nowadays writes songs. But in my day, we didn't. We were assholes. So I asked that question. So that's interesting. Okay, and so how'd you meet Christian and Michael?
We all met in New York not too long ago, but... I don't know, 7-8 years ago, maybe.
That's longer than the whole history of the Minutemen. we didn't even last 6 years, so that's kind of long.
Okay,
it's all relative. No, I'm just curious, and why, no, so you had left Sweden for the U.S. what, for music?
For everything. No,
okay.
No particular reason, just wanted to move to New York at some point.
Sure. not Stockholm. You didn't want to move to Stockholm.
No, I didn't.
And, or Oslo.
No.
Or Copenhagen. No, I'm just curious. Yeah, New York is a great magnet of people with ideas and energy. It just is. It's incredible that way. There's other towns like that too, but I would say that's the big daddy for that kind of stuff. It has that really kind of special thing. It'd be impossible for Watt to live there, but I can understand the attraction that pulls people with energy and ideas. Can we move on to Michael, my name? Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
What's your earliest musical recollection?
Probably. Riding in a car with my parents, listening to music they listened to.
Car radio?
You know, not the radio. They had cassettes.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's like that 80s country western music, like George Straits and...
I think that was Achy Breaky Heart Time.
Yeah,
yeah, bad haircuts, but and definitely maybe yeah. not as good as Hank and stuff with some yeah. of the music, but I mean, that's where we were. What part of the country were you in?
Germany.
Oh, wow, you were in Germany. What part of Germany?
Stuttgart.
Okay, where they make Mercedes-Benzes.
Yeah.
And Schwarzwald, right? Some Black Forest. So, wow, was your daddy military?
Yeah,
because, you know, at first, there used to be this country called West Germany. My first European gigs, half the tour would be in West Germany and play in that part of the country. Now, of course, the soldiers weren't allowed to fraternize, so they'd have to sneak to go to the punk show together, the officer enlisted man. But I met some situations like that. Were they just listeners, or did they play, your parents?
No, just listeners, and they did very little listening. Okay. It wasn't until I got into breakdancing that music became something important to me.
Okay, where was that, school?
That was at school in Germany, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Did they have a break dance class?
No, I just somehow stumbled across it with, you know, you constantly have new students moving in and away, and it was just this new thing that was coming out.
No, I know exactly, because I grew up, my pop was a sailor. So Navy housing, yeah, we always had enough for 11-on-11 football game, okay? But you never knew these guys more than a few months, right?
Yeah.
So I remember Jim Brown, a Black and I'm Proud. I remember the week that came out, it was at a birthday party, it was at Navy housing. So, yeah, you get turned on to a lot of stuff. That's interesting. Did you do music in school, though? Marching band or shit like that, choir?
No, it wasn't until I moved back to the States and moved to Texas and got into skateboarding that, I got turned on to punk rock music.
Yeah.
And at that point, I think my parents were trying to get me to stop skateboarding, so they offered to get me a guitar, thinking that would get me out of that crowd, and then it just kind of reinforced it, and now they're stuck with what I am now.
Righteous. Do you remember the first record you bought yourself?
Houdini.
Oh, yeah. Self-taught. I remember him.
Yeah.
And, what about the first gig you went to?
The first gig I went to was, we put on punk shows at our, you know, kind of city park in Copperas Cove.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the first show I went to. But an actual show, I think I went to go see Social Distortion when they did that Mommy's Little Monster tour in Austin. We all loaded up in the back of my friend's little Nissan pickup truck and went up there for a skate adventure, and then afterwards went to the show.
That's bitching. Now, what about you made bands after school in the basement or bedroom garage thing?
Yeah.
Did some of these bands play at the park where you guys put on gigs?
Yeah. Our first band, it was called Minority. And our drummer, who only had a broken skateboard truck and a couple board game boxes for a drum set, and he had a karaoke machine of his parents, so our singer sang through that. And I had a little amp that I had watched this rock documentary about how, what was that band that did the Born to Be Wild? Well, how they.
Steppenwolf,
how they sliced the cones of their amplifiers to get distortion. I didn't realize that a 15-watt amp doesn't push enough to get. Well, it definitely gets distorted, but it doesn't sound good.
Steppenwolf. I've always heard it was Link Wray who got credit for that. I heard about Jeff Beck doing it. Yeah, maybe everybody did it.
Yeah.
It's like putting playing cards in the spokes of your bicycle.
A pencil.
Look, Christian, I want to get to you, but first I want to play Soft Rave, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you. war zone. We're living in a war zone. It's a war zone. Men flashing their guns and balls. Women looking like Barbie dolls. Wake up, wake up, hold your life. You're out to kill, out to kill. War zone. War zone. War zone. Guys stealing zillions get away while we knock each other to make our day. Wake up, wake up, hold your life. Wake up! They're out to kill, they're out to kill. War zone! War zone! War zone! War zone! War zone! Don't make us laugh with your high-minded talk, but all you want from us is some pillow talk. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up! Hold your life. War zone! War zone! War zone! War zone! War zone! War zone! Help us. If you hear me, if you hear me, please help us.
Hey! Fascist slaves, protesters, to get in a fucking book, book. Everything I scribble back to anarchist book, book.
Oh, good. Holding in a center for the book, book.
Black on black on black, lay the team at that is my crook. How you like my styling, bruh? Ain't nobody styling, bruh. About to turn this motherfucker up like Michael's styling, bruh. My fathers and my cripples and my brothers and my brothers. When you niggas don't unite and kill the police, motherfucker. A takeover, a jail. Get a POKL. The burning of that over, goddamn, I love them jail. Like it's a killer fortune. Where the fuck the warden? And when you find them, we don't kill them, we just border for them. We killing them for freedom, cause they tortured us for boredom. And even if some good was, I fuck it, the Lord will sort them.
We out of order, God, and you out of order. This whole point is unimportant. Fuck is the walking corpses. I'm a lift-weight candidate, living with a distortion. I'm fighting to a cyanide roller before you war a twin. I'm a New Yorkie and I'm fucked with a jump. I wear my Yankees with bills that I act and walk with a hunch. Look at Mikey, I think he's Mikey. We are citizens, son.
Hey, we ain't tied to preach a preacher with a grin and a grin. Come on, come on.
Disgusting youngin' and hold your nuts while you running. I listen tatted the tennis on my dick last summer. Now I'll never get that phrase on my brain. It's no wonder I'm here to buy hearts. I got hundreds. Honey, the deeper the parts, the better buy for the money. I'm training for China Wolfram, glistening, waiting for the christening. I know the neighbors can't help but listening. A dirty boy who come down on the side of visiting. I can't even relax, but I sirens off in the distance. Now sitting, you little buddy, just fucking out of the prison. The only silence I have is the act of conjugal visiting.
My solitary condition, Virginia conjugal visit. Domain and missing my mission. They keeping me from my chilling conditions. Creative feeling. The feeling is giving vision. The vision becomes a violence. Intentions on all the visions. Liars and politicians. Properties of the prison. The forehead engravers. Enslavers of men and women. Including members of clergy that rule on you through religion.
So strip your kids to the new and then tell them God will forgive them.
Pitching crew, I'm miles ahead of you. You can sit my pitching crew. My battle status is burning matches from Palace to Malibu.
there, your residence is rent.
All of a kid job, and my honey, kids will pass trip for you. Play a car, your eyes slap it, she gon' rip it through. Sick of kids now that praise for your sick of you. Young giants, been a 8K dicking you. We're slipping to the bottom, we dipping in copper. Yes, eclipsed by the shadows of dark dance in the coffin. I'm a fellow with melanin, suspect of a felony. Reflect rock in my law, better check in my melody. Let the break of the tangible walk, stretch the penalties on. Cases you're facing the cops, leave them, we see the pump. Breathing in someone's global brand fragment. Still violent, fast, fuck that man, he's so tagging. Now they crack the tank, and we bust it back. See, the only thing that
Max Brod. Luckily, Max Brod disobeyed his wishes. Then we have a story.
Exactly.
I guess Metamorphosis. He wanted that one out because it was already printed. But all the rest, like no trial, no castle, no America.
Yeah, none of that.
Yeah,
right?
All that stuff would have been all lost.
Yeah.
We just heard the start off that chunk of music there. Dallas Acid doing Soft Rave. Brand new Tad Falco. Album comes out next month. Sleepwalk. That's a little teaser, instrumental. Shumsky from Croatia with Zidovi, brand new. There's cats from early 90s, I think. Whack Whack Kingdom out of Berlin with Pure Love. That's Shige. What's this label called? Small But Hard. I like that. And King Champion Sounds out of Holland, Memories Imagine. M.B. Jones, No Identity from Pusa. Yoko Ono, 85 years old, new album. The title track, Warzone. Keith Crystals with Fuck The Slow-Mo. Petra Hayden, daughter Charlie with God's Lonely Man. And finally, Indiscreet Music by Dallas Acid. And we got Christian now, and it's his turn to tell us about his earliest musical recollection.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. You know, my first, probably earliest musical recollection is, you know, when your parents put you to bed and you're in the room and you can hear, you know, all the music on the speakers and the glasses clinking and everybody laughing and having a good time and basically, you know, listening to my parents' party after they put the kids to sleep. And, you know, in those days it was probably, you know, mostly I was hearing, you know, bass lines from, you know, Neil Young songs or, you know, Jerry Rafferty or something. And so those are kind of my earliest memories. And then,
Billy.
That
bass man's Billy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Billy Talbot. Were they just listeners and partiers? Were they music people too?
You know, my mom's family is a musical family. Her dad was a bass player, played stand-up bass, and, you know, with a lot of different swing musicians and you know, big bands back in the 30s and 40s.
Was there instruments in the house?
What's that?
Was there instruments in the house, like a piano or a guitar?
Oh, yeah. There was always, you know, a guitar and a piano in the house growing up. My dad played guitar, and, you know, my three sisters and I were all forced to take piano lessons from a young age.
Was it a good experience or bad experience? Was it good or bad experience with the piano lessons?
You know, I think it was really actually very good. I had a very encouraging teacher, you know, who put up with my sort of like, you know, when I was 12 and thought that I was composing really genius shit, you know, and she would just sit there and be like, oh man, that's really great, you know, keep up the good work. And, you know, so I didn't get, you know, I wasn't like scolded into like, you know, shame or anything like that. So, you know, thankfully, and you know, I always wanted to play guitar at that point. You know, we lived outside of San Antonio, so most of the radio that I got, you know, was Iron Maiden and Black Sabbath.
Yeah,
and
a lot of military living out there too. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think there were only like six military bases in San Antonio at that time. So, you know, in the '80s that was the thing, you know, Ozzy, you know, taking a leak on the Alamo.
Oh yeah, and, I remember that.
That was just like the most horrible thing that had happened in Texas in years, as far as people were concerned.
There was a great club there Minutemen played called Taco Land.
Oh, yeah, Taco Land.
Yeah, the man was murdered.
Yeah, we've been there a million times, probably. And Michael's old bands, I think.
Yeah, we used to play there quite a bit.
Yeah, was it 100 Watt Clock or
100 Watt Clock, Power Bomb,
About a year, maybe 2 years ago now, was the first time I played San Antonio in many, many years, because that hit me hard. The last time I played was Taco Land, and it was really sad. And it was nothing against the town. It's actually not that far from Austin.
Yeah. So it's changed a lot, though.
Jeff Smith of the Hickways brought me back, and I'm going to keep playing there more and more. I got to get back on my tour schedule. So did you make a band in school? Like a garage, bedroom, basement band?
Yeah, I had a band with my friend Dave and my friend Brandon, and we you know, called ourselves a Cold War band because, you know, everything was sort of like Reagan versus Gorbachev in those days. And yeah. It was like a synthesizer. You know, it kind of sounded like Joy Division, you know. And we had just discovered Spaceman 3 at that time. And,
I forgot to ask you, what was the first record you bought when you were a kid?
Oh, man. It was probably, I was thinking about this, I don't know for sure, but it was probably, I'm going to say, Off the Wall by Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the first album record. I got.
And his nose is a little different on the cover.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good and healthy. It's strong. What about the first gig you saw, Michael? Christian, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the first gig I saw, I was probably 14, and my friend and I snuck with his older brothers to go see Poison open for David Lee Roth in San Antonio. And it was when, David Lee Roth was doing the full surfboard thing, and, you know, it was C.C. DeVille versus Steve Vai in the guitar wars, you know. Pretty ridiculous, but
I should tell you guys what my first gig was.
Yeah.
T-Rex.
Oh, man.
Why does everybody say that? Okay, it's October 24, 2018 edition of Watch for Pedro Show, first hour. Special guest, Dallas Acid. Hold time for hour two. October 24, 2018. It's the second hour. The Watt from Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show start off the second hour with This Much Now, Dallas Acid, with Largy and RG Oshinada, Jesse's Dance, also known as the Clone Parade, from Mike Rugnetta, Flying Floor for U.S. Airways by Eli Kessler, that's brand new, On the Flux with the Bishop, Dustin Wong, brand new, Shaman Bamboo's Portfolio, brand new too, from Taisha Wada and Yoshi Wada, Father and Son thing, friends. Bottom of the Sky. I think Corey's doing some of the percussion there. And then finally, White Wine from Dallas Acid, which is not to be confused with Austin band White Denim. I had them on a few months ago. Interesting cats.
Oh, yeah.
So let's hear the story of how Dallas Acid comes together.
Well, I guess Michael and I had been messing around with electronics and stuff since we had moved to New York together with a few other dudes and at the end of 98 and, you know, had probably four or five different bands kind of come and go during that period. But we were always kind of messing around with, you know, experimental recording and stuff. And then we both basically ended up back in Austin in about 2006, and I had got the Little Fatty had just come out about a year before that, and I got my hands on one of those, and we had borrowed a bunch of other gear and had a Hammond organ and some Space Echoes and some other delay pedals and stuff, and so we just kind of launched into a recording project because we weren't really playing with any bands at the time. We released a record called Odeon, I guess, in 2009, played a few gigs, but, you know, never really had enough gear or money to invest to kind of get a live thing going. And, you know, after we kind of moved around to LA and then to New York,
LA, what part? You were in SoCal?
Yeah, we were in basically Echo Park,
yeah, sure,
for a long time, and then, Santa Monica briefly.
And then West Side. Never made it to Pedro. You never made it to Pedro.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think so, but,
I've been living here 51 years. I'd like to show you around one time when you get some time. Let me show you around. I've been here 51 years.
Well, we'll be in touch next time. We're coming out there in a couple of months, hopefully, for a tour. So,
that'd be bitching. Yeah, I know people born in Pedro don't know the stuff I know about this town. I belong to the San Pedro Bay Historical Society. I want to play an Evening Reduction here, a part of the collaboration, okay? Thank you.
everybody. I'm a Vixen man. For the pink and brown, I'm doing what I can because I love the Vaudeville Vixens team. To be their mascot is my total dream. This is roller derby by some of the best. They will take you on and put you to the test. They have jammers as fast as light. The blockers keep them back and do all right. You'll see me prancing around the floor, shouting it out when the Vixens score. Roller derby is a very exciting game. The Vixens win, have their share of fame. And the Dairyland Dolls hit a rink. You believe me, they have plenty of pink. Because the Vaudeville Vixens are really bad. They're the best team I've ever had. Let us see them get out and really score. It's really exciting when they hit the floor. Pink and brown going to go around. Boogie on out and get on down. Watch them scoot around the track. Look out for the pink and brown attack. I will be a Vixen man to the end. They really send me around at the bend.
Watt for Pedro Show, Evening Reduction from Dallas Acid with Laraji and RG Oshinata. The Healers out of Illinois with Donahue, Amy Apps, 50-50. Joe Brewer, Vixen Man, and finally, Spa Hunter. I love that title. I imagine some guy, you know, I'm going to make a big journey to Japan and go to every onsen I can.
Yeah, that's cool. We're hoping to do a tour like that.
Remember, I didn't say sento, I said onsen. You get in there with the monkeys. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so you and Michael, it's a two-piece band, and you're basically doing recordings because it's hard to do gigs. You ain't got the stuff.
Yeah,
you know what's so interesting, though? What's interesting is all three of you, Linda included, said you wanted to play guitar, but, like, you guys all abandoned?
Yeah, we all just kind of abandoned guitar around the same time,
okay.
I guess. You
That's
know?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But, you know, for the first time, we were really just able to explore, you know, these modular synthesizers and kind of keyboards from a new perspective, you know, not from taking piano lessons and having to learn this and that, but just, you know. And we ended up back in New York, and we were basically kind of living in our practice space in this one building, and Linda had her band had a practice space down the hall, and we just started jamming, and, you know, we felt like with Linda's vocals and percussion that it had that missing element, you know, that we never really had before, that just made it, you know, a more interesting dynamic for sure, and just added so much. So, and that was probably around, what, 2014, 15?
I
think 2014.
You know, the stuff you were doing in Texas, did you call it Dallas Acid?
Yeah, we called it Dallas Acid, and then it was also just called DA for a lot of shows.
Where'd that name come from, Christian?
Well, it was just kind of a dumb inside joke for me and Michael that goes back to an incident in Dallas when we were kids and you know, hanging out in Deep Ellum, essentially. When we were probably too young and naive to be there. So
I thought you were going to say Dealey Plaza. No, I was interested because, you know, Dallas is a regular stop for me on tour. I'm there all the time. And, like, you're talking San Antonio and Austin, but I was just...
Yeah,
but you guys, of course, Texas people, I-35, I-10, they travel around to different towns. Why not? We do it in California.
They do. Yeah.
Interesting.
And Dallas has been really good to us. You know, there's a great deal that they do called the Dallas Ambient Music Night, or DAM.
Uh-huh.
And they put on some great experimental electronic and ambient bands all over Dallas. We got to recently play the Texas Theater, which was where, Oswald was hanging out right before they arrested him, I guess.
I think he was arrested in there.
Arrested there, yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know that right next door in Fort Worth, that's where the Caravan of Dreams, Mr. Ornette Coleman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ornette Coleman, yeah.
You know, people get weird stereotypes in their mind. They should get that out the way because there's all kinds of good stuff everywhere. There's weird stuff, too. What about, can you tell me the first gig where all three of you played together? Was it there in New York City?
I think our first gig as a three-piece was, at Hotel Vegas in Austin. And we were...
Okay, so you're practicing in New York City, but you tell Linda, hey, we got a gig in Austin.
Well, I had moved back to Austin sort of in that time, and they were planning on moving a few months later. So, we just kind of practiced for a while, and then... once everybody got here, we played a show almost immediately.
You guys were practicing in New York City, but you actually didn't first play there together. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, technically, I guess we're an Austin band. We were kind of born on stage that night.
Pad was it?
What's that?
What pad was it?
What pad?
Yeah, in Austin.
Oh, it was at the Hotel Vegas.
You said that. I'm sorry. And what was it like? Because I'm always interested about the first gig, you know.
Yeah, it was interesting because I think we opened for maybe Christian Bland and the Revelators, sort of a very loud psych band, and I think I can't remember who was before us, but I think it was an odd billing, you know.
That's okay.
But we did have people like sort of on the street looking in through the windows, like, what is going on in there? What is that noise? Because we had one song at that point and had to pretty much fill up the entire 35-minute thing with basically one song. So there was a lot of strange experimentation going on.
And also, we had gone into the show thinking, like, well, everybody is probably going to walk out.
But you guys were basically improvising some, maybe?
Yeah. We had a few, agreed-upon things going into it, but, sometimes when you get on stage, you forget about all those things that you agreed on. Yeah. And it just turns into something else.
I know that. Believe you me. I remember this one time. It was one of Nels's New Music Mondays near Santa Monica, right near the border.
Oh, yeah.
And, the Alligator Lounge. And it was such a fucking bunch of noise, and I thought it was abusing the listeners and the gig-goers so much. I could see my truck out the front hatch, and it wasn't my amp and shit, so I just unplugged, and I bolted. That might have been kind of lame, but I just felt like I was part of some kind of torture committee, and I didn't want to be part of it.
Yeah.
No, look, we're at the end of the second hour. October 24, 2018, this is Wap Peter Show. Special guest, Dallas Acid. Hold tight for hour three. October 24, 2018, it's the third hour of the Wap for Peter Show.
Hey man, did you ever contemplate the thought of making love right here right now?
beneath my magic cape.
I'm
Watt for Peter show start off the third hour with Dallas Acid doing 29 Palms, which is a little town on the I-10 in the the Mojave. Have you ever heard people call it the Mojave? Like, I was out going through the Mojave on my way to La Jolla, and all I had to chow was jalapenos, fried joles, tortillas. Okay. Enough of that one. The Emperor's Ice Cream out of England with Can I Lie Down in the Snow? Maya and the Revolutionary Hell Yeah with Sex Song from Up the City. Rob Nugg, Golden State. Bullets or Balloons, Three Chances, that's a short one there. I think they're Spokane. Have you ever played in Spokane?
No. Never played in Spokane.
Okay, yeah. You will because of the tour route. If you want to get from Seattle to Boise, you know why you play Spokane. But they has a very charming nickname. Well, there's actually, I found there's two endearments that they call the town. It's either Spokanistan or Methlehem.
Little town of Methlehem.
Little town of Methlehem. Yeah. 20, 30 years late, but it still comes around, you know. Cap Gun Coup with Dead is God. And finally, Kelper, Dallas Acid. Now, Kelper, people, that's Pedro slang. And actually, it's foundation kind of seaweed off the coast. Actually, when I came here from Virginia, there was none because Monsanto was dumping DDT off the thing here, straight shit. Yeah, it was terrible. No pelicans or condors because the eggs too. No peregrine falcons because the eggs shells too skinny. And anyway, they stopped that, and so the kelp came back. But a kelper, one time, first time we played in England, Black Flag took the Minuteman, and we were going to see the bass player of the pop group start a new band. So it was one day off, and we were going to go see him at the Marquee. And we're hobbling down the sidewalk, and me and Dee Boone are kind of behind, and he goes, hold it, say. I mean, this guy lost maybe one and a half stride, and he laid out a turd. I mean, it was nighttime, right? It's dark, so nobody saw this, really. But it must have been like three feet long, and it looked like a big kelp, so we always called them kelpers. It's Dee Boone loves spirulina. So, thank you for calling a song that. Actually, I don't know why it's called seaweed, because the stuff is really good for you. It's got a lot of good shit. If you get into Asia Chow, they ain't afraid of it. Nori and that stuff. Kaiso, kombu, yeah. I think kombu is kelp over there. So, look, this you already told me about how the collaboration came about. That's bitching, just by playing a gig and then the next day doing it. I've done stuff like that. Isn't that trippy how that happens? It's the spontaneity. Yeah, that's one thing that can really connect us with, like, the John Coltrane days of bebop, where you just jam with people.
Exactly. You don't know what you're doing going in. You know, he plays one thing. He said, I think he's going to be a G major.
Yeah, right.
Coming up. And, it was...
G major. Only one black key. Right?
What's that?
Only one black key, G major.
One black
key. You know, the movement has taught me some musical things. What about this song, Punic Wars? Are you guys into history?
Yeah, you know, that song...
Because I'm wondering if which one? Because there was actually two of them, right?
Right. I think there were a few wars between Rome and Carthage, basically, that refers to. And
the famous one is Hannibal.
Yeah. And that was sort of what we felt like. The rhythm of this song sounded like Hannibal trying to cross the Alps with elephants.
He did it.
And heavy and almost clumsy at times, and that was kind of where that name came from. I did a little studies. I went to UT for a few years and took some classics courses, and kind of studied a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, do you
a lot of it's left my mind, in the time since then. But
that's okay. Dee Boone loves history. I'll tell you, Dee Boone, he's the one who got me into history. Yeah. Besides that, a set of world book encyclopedia my mom got me when I was a boy. But anyway, let's listen to Punic War.
Sometimes you give up, float down to the bottom, where the leaves pile up with empty cans and bottles. Just another rock and roll escapee box turtle, growing stronger in the dark, wait for a little spark. Sometimes you let go, float out to the jetty, watch the surfer stand and drop, face down in the foamies. Rumors of an impressive shark, see the evening then the dark, on the beach there is a fire, shooting sparks and never tires.
Okay. Given what's been going on. But.
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially with the technology, too. You do get a strange
whim. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that was Punic Wars, people. Dallas Acid, last music for this edition. David Gerard after that with Intergalactic Static out of Massachusetts. Mold Omen out of Baltimore with I Am Waiting. Dan Jones out of Kansas City, Missouri. Love is the director. And finally, The Orgy in San Felipe, Dallas Acid. What went on in San Felipe?
You know, we really don't know where that came from, to be perfectly honest, but we were just doing this song, and, you know, it was one of those things where we had been working for 8 hours and probably had a few bottles of wine in the process, and, I don't even remember who said...
No, but Christian, that's a good point. I'm interested in the process. How does Dallas Acid come up with their compositions?
A couple of different ways, you know. A lot of times it's just the old-fashioned way where somebody has a tune in their head or a melody and we just kind of work something around that. But more and more, our primary method of working has become using this giant modular synthesizer that Michael has built that we call the Brain. And it's got, you know, I don't know how many steps of sequencing in it, but we've really started writing most of our songs on this particular piece of equipment, just getting all the sequences down first, and then
kind of using it. But it's a collaboration. Does somebody go first, or what? Everybody just jumps in with the beats? Or?
You know, it depends. I mean, sometimes it's like Michael comes up with a lot of the stuff, you know, just through experimentation. And then, you know, we all kind of say, how can we sort of like manipulate it to do this?
And, so he's like the provoker, then you guys react.
Right.
Eight in a bed, I should say.
The provoker. I think the Brain's the provoker. I kind of plug things in. Yeah, and then it spits out something that I would have never played before.
Yeah. The randomizer.
Just do what the machinery tells us.
You know? When Doctor Who wanted to escape from some clown, he used the randomizer because he didn't want to know where he was going either.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And so the TARDIS makes a lot of our decisions for us. You know, and we just do our best to keep it happy and keep it fed.
What's your immediate plans?
Well, immediately we've got to finish a new record that we're hoping to have out in, you know, February or maybe March. At this point, it's tentatively called The Spiral Arm, and you know, it's kind of I'd say a continuation of some of the Spa Hunter style of music, where we're doing shorter, sort of more structurally traditional kind of music, you know, but kind of stretched and morphed and twisted around in certain parts. But, you know, I think there's some catchy hits on it, as well as some pretty deep space, exploration with, you know, a lot of the sounds and stuff that we're using.
What about the old synths, the old fat mono synths? Because I'm a big fan of Black Moth Super Rainbow. I'm going to go see him Friday. And it seems like a good comeback. Yeah, some Pittsburgh cat named Mr. Tom that I dig.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's some great synth music out of Pittsburgh. You know, that zombie band, if you've never checked them out, are really good as well. But, yeah, we were lucky enough to be able to use a lot of old vintage synthesizers that a friend of ours lent to us, you know, some old ARP Omni stuff that, you know, like Joy Division and New Order was using for that string sound, and, you know, an ARP 2600. Got to use a Matrix 12 and...
Brian Ferry's organ.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name, but
yeah,
the same organ that Brian Ferry uses.
What, addition to you? where can people find you on the internet?
DallasAcid.com will take you to pretty much everything. There's links there to,
you got that,
you know,
people, DallasAcid.com. It's like their very own fanzine. You don't have to go to Shitter or Fake Look or Instant Ham. Go right to their little fanzine there. And one final thing I got to ask you guys. Young people getting into this, what's your advice?
Oh, man. I would say just, you know, get yourself any kind of recording device, maybe one effect pedal and a keyboard that you really love the sound of, and just start recording. Just do as much stuff as you can, and then the whole live thing will sort it out itself out eventually.
What about you, Michael?
Just pick up an instrument. If you don't have one, just sing.
I don't have to get a keyboard. Can I stay on bass?
What's that?
Can I stay on bass?
Oh, please.
Okay.
Please do.
What about you, Linda?
Oh, I mean, gosh, just be creative. Make your own drum kit and, you know, play more gongs.
All three of you, righteous advice. And I love your music. Please keep on keeping on. Big honor for me to have you on the show, okay? Big honor. People, it's been the October 24, 2018 edition of Wap for Pedro Show. Special guest, Dallas Acid. Keep your powder dry.